astray. Oh Father, we are so grateful for this wonderful Sunday morning. This is not just another Sunday, but a brand new Sunday where you created this time and this place so that we can gather as a church. What a mysterious and wonderful thing that we belong to a church of Jesus Christ. And we cast all the fear and anxiety and uncertainty of the future with our faith in Jesus Christ, who is at the throne of God, right hand of the Father, judging all the world. And putting everything together for the purpose of God, for each one of us, as part of your kingdom. We feel safe, and we have a conviction of assurance because of the risen Christ is now at the right hand of God, in the throne of God of grace. Father, just keep us, be reminded of your grace that is available for each one of us. That is the power, and that is the reason, and that is the source of joy for us to live in this world. And Jesus, as you said, peace be with you. We recognize you as the Prince of Peace. There's nothing in this world that can drive away the peace that we have in us, no matter what happens in this world. We find this peace you have given us as a gift. Thank you for the victory and the purpose and the plan that we are part of you. We give all the honor and glory to your name, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray everything in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus was ascended into the throne of God in heaven, his work did not stop then. He instituted his church on earth so that his mission would continue on through the church. Church is so important to the believers, and even more so to Christ himself. So what is the relationship between Christ and the church? Why is church so important to us and to Christ? Basically, what is church? We are going to answer this question today. Please turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 15 through 18. Matthew 16, 15 through 18, here is the word of God. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to them, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Yonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." And the word church was introduced for the first time by Jesus himself in the New Testament in this Gospel of Matthew. The corresponding Greek word for church is ecclesia, which means a public gathering. That is how the people in the Greek world understood the word ecclesia, public gathering. But when Jesus used this same Greek word, ecclesia, he added my ecclesia to mean the people gathered as a community for Christ's name's sake. An English translator rendered this word as church. So the concept of church was given by Jesus in the New Testament. And Matthew, one of his disciples, recorded the word ecclesia as Jesus put it. So the church is Jesus' idea. In the Old Testament, there is a similar concept around the word kahar, which means congregation or community. And this word kahar signified the Israelites met together in their official character as Yahweh's covenant people. Yahweh formed the Old Testament Israel by redeeming the people from Egyptian bondage and revealing to them the reality of His covenant. In a similar manner, Jesus formed the community bonded together by a common grasp of the reality that Peter Simon just confessed. So the concept of church was birthed by Jesus Himself as a founder of it, with the people who confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the Living God. So I don't think church replaced Israel. Church is another entity similar to Israel, but church is different, a gathering. We gather in the name of Jesus among those people who confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And before we delve into the details of church, let us spend some time on the conversation between Jesus and His disciples, especially Peter. When Jesus asked His disciples, who do they say that He is? Peter is the first one who tried to answer Jesus. Peter said, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. What is so special about that? We are so used to hear Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. But this was not so clear to the people who lived back then in Jesus' time. People did not really comprehend Jesus was the Christ, their Messiah. The English word Christ is Christos in Greek, which corresponds to the Hebrew word Messiah. So Christ is same as Christ. Christ is English word and Messiah is Hebrew word, which literally means the anointed one. And it was Peter who comprehended the very identity of Jesus of Nazareth, the son of carpenter, was the Christ, the Messiah. So the concept of Messiah is that Christ is a divine nature, as Peter put Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And what does it mean, upon this rock? Catholic take upon this rock as upon Peter. I will build my church, and that's why Peter is the first pope. I don't think Peter really identified himself as first pope, but the Roman Church, Catholic Church, put Peter as this rock. However, I don't think this rock means Peter. This rock, I believe, means Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ and Son of the Living God. Because Peter, in Greek, word is Petros, means a stone, small stone. And upon this rock, and that is different word, Petra, which means a rock, a big stone. So I don't think Jesus really meant, upon Peter I will build my church, but upon this confession of Peter, I will build my church. Nonetheless, Peter was the first one who was convinced of this important identity of Jesus. And unless Jesus is Christ, Jesus would be another human prophet like Moses, Elijah, etc. And indeed, many people in Jesus' generation thought Jesus was just another Elijah. But when Jesus heard Peter confess that he is the Christ, Jesus replied, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So what is flesh and blood mean? It refers to a natural and physical dimension. When Jesus is saying that with our natural and physical dimension of knowledge, we would never be able to comprehend what Jesus, we would never be able to comprehend that Jesus is Christ. But Jesus attributed the confession of Peter, that is, Jesus is the Christ, to the divine knowledge revealed to Peter by the Heavenly Father. Unless the Father who is in heaven revealed to us, we would never be able to convince that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, when you can confess Jesus is the Christ, as Peter does, it is the work of the Father who is in heaven who reveals such understanding, such wisdom. And as Romans 8, 14, 15 says, the Holy Spirit is the agent of the Father who makes us understand Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that we know we are children of God, calling God our Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So, the church is the community of Christians, believers, and Jesus himself is the founder of the church. And the Father revealed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of the Father's revelation. He's the agent who makes us understand that Jesus is the Son of the living God. So the church has to be a Trinitarian. That's the first point I'd like to get. Church is a Trinitarian by nature. It's a Unitarian church. Actually, that's not really a legitimate church, because that's not what Jesus meant church to be. Church has to be a Trinitarian by nature. Christianity begins with the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Father who is in heaven touches down on earth with this knowledge. And it is a transfer of knowledge. And this is called divine knowledge revealed to us. And as we know, this knowledge transfer was not done in vacuum, but through the coming of Jesus as a man whose name is Jesus of Nazareth. And the knowledge came with the reality of heaven, the Son of God who came to earth. So if you can confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are blessed. As Jesus told Peter, blessed are you, son Bar-Yonah, because of that confession. Let us recognize that we are all blessed because we can confess by faith Jesus is the Christ. The most profound truth in the entire universe has been transferred from heaven to you and me. And that is Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. And knowing this truth is the foremost blessing of all blessings. Most blessings we can think of are temporary, and we cannot take them with us to eternity. But when we know Jesus as our Christ, this blessing will not only take us to the path of righteousness on earth, but also usher us to eternity. So blessed are you who can confess Jesus is the Christ. That's exactly what Jesus said to Peter and to us and all the believers who will come to faith down the road. So the church is the community of people who commonly confess Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. So we can say the church is a blessing of God. Indeed. This is the second point I'd like to make. Church is a blessing of God. You know, there are many blessings God has endowed to us. And I'm sure that you are blessed and you feel blessed because of the blessings that God has given to you and to your family and to your life. You know, among the blessings of God, family is clearly a blessing. But church is another amazing blessing of God. While family is a product of blood and flesh, the church is a product of the Spirit of God. Family is a biological community of a father and a mother and children. And church is a spiritual community of brothers and sisters whose father is the living God and whose Lord is Jesus Christ and whose power is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is hard to replace this blessing of church with all other blessings of life, if not impossible. So we have to recognize that church is an amazing blessing of God. We sometimes forget about it. We just come every Sunday and go home, and we don't really, you know, recognize this is a special blessing of God, but it is indeed a blessing of God. And you are blessed, and I am blessed because we have a church we belong to. That's amazing. So church is a blessing of God. And let's look at this word one more time. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus said, my church. So, the church is Christ. Church is Christ. Christ is the possessor of the church. So church is less of building or denomination than of the possession by Jesus himself. We are possessed by him as we belong to his church. So Christ is the founder of the church. He is the Lord of the church. Without Christ, there is no church. So church, the Christ is the central figure of the church. And church is by the Christ and of the Christ and for the Christ. So church has to be Christ-centric. Church has to be Christ-centric by definition. The more we are Christ-centric, the closer we are to the intent of the Father who is in heaven. And the church being Christ-centric, the Father is glorified. God's purpose for the church is to be His Son-centric, Christ-centric. So the health of the church is measured by the depth of Christ-centeredness. The more church is centered on Christ, the healthier the church is. The healthier the church is, the more glorified God is. At the core of being Christ-centric is the Word-centric, the Word of God. We cannot separate Christ from His Word. Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. The Gospel of John begins with, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the Word incarnate. So that's why we cannot separate Jesus from the Word of God. You know, so Word of God, the Scripture, has to be the center of our theology and our perspective, our values, and our worldview. We have to reshape all our theology, perspective, values, and the worldview based on what the Scripture has to say. Sometimes we don't agree. We may not agree with what Scripture has to say, but we have to reshape. We have to obey to what the scripture has to say about our values, our perspective, and our world, you know, views and so on. And we hear this phrase, the God of wars, God of wars, the word of God. God of wars is important because we have to establish who God is from the word itself. That's why we have this phrase, God of wars. Not God of our own thinking. Many people try to define God from their own perspective, not God of wars. That's why they fail to see what the scripture has to say about God. But unless we have the notion of God from the very words, we would fail to understand who God is. So word of God has to be central in order for the church to be Christ-centric. And we can't emphasize more on the centrality of the word of God to stay as Christ-centered church. Very important. And Christ said, Jesus said, I will build my church. So, number four point, church is built by Christ. Church is built by Christ himself. He is the builder of his church. The word build, in Greek manuscript, oikodomeo, which means to construct a transcendent building. Construct a transcendence building, and this building is a Christian congregation in a transcendent manner. So Jesus will continue to build his church. The local church may disappear in time, but his church will continue on with another local churches being built generation after generation. That's why we have church here in this particular locality as part of Jesus' building project. This building project is not just building one building, but he will build one after another in different generation, you know, after generation, by the people who confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Christ will build the church means church will continue on because Jesus is the builder of the church. Nations come and go. We know that. Even USA wasn't there, you know, in 15th, 16th century. But all of a sudden, this nation came to exist. But no nation is forever. And likewise, enterprises come and go. No company is forever. But the church will never cease to exist because Christ is the builder of all churches. And he's the one, the architect. He's the foundation, but he's the architect. He will continue to build his church. And Jesus promised that gates of Hades shall not overcome the church. What does that mean? It means church will prevail. As the Christ himself is the builder. The church will triumph over all forms of powers of death and evil as long as the church puts Jesus as the Lord, as long as the church is Christ-centric. The church is the enterprise whose CEO is Jesus himself. And as long as the people in the church follow the instruction and the leadership of Christ, church will be victorious. That's why number five point, church will be victorious. Church will be triumphant. As a member of church, we are in the winning team because Christ, our Lord, we are on his side. And each and every effort you pour into the ministry of the church counts and meaningful because it matters to Christ. You know, all of our time and sacrifices poured into the church ministry is actually the pleasure and delight to Christ himself. You know, we do to Christ, actually. We don't do to anyone else or anything else, but all we do is given to the Christ. The church in our days may be countercultural. That means it's not very popular. Some people say that I met on the plane that I go to church every Sunday, said, you know, he was so surprised that he still hear people going to church every Sunday. Why you bother? His attitude was like that. It's not countercultural, of course. It's not very popular, yet we are guaranteed to be victorious and endorsed by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are guaranteed to be victorious. No matter what happens in this world, church will be victorious as long as we put Jesus as the center of the church. So we are doing the right thing. Among many things in the world, we are doing the right thing. The most important thing to Christ, we are doing it as being part of the church. And we are risen Christ's body. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So the church that Christ loves and sustains is the key feature of God's plan for both time and eternity. And Ephesians 5:25-26, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church, you and me. He gave up himself for us. That's how much Christ loved the church. So my point is that we are so fortunate to get involved in the ministry of the church as the member of the church. We are a part of God's glory and Christ's body. No organization or organism can be compared to the church. No membership of any kind is more meaningful than the membership of the church we all belong to. No privilege or blessings are more rewarding than doing the ministry of the church of Christ. We are the church of Christ and we do the church. And all your prayers count for the eternal joy of the Lord. And all your time and offering will be eternally remembered and rewarded as a treasure of heaven. And all your worship and praise are worthy to the Lord forever and ever. The church is worth all our effort, all our love, all our loyalty and devotion to Christ. As Christ loves his church, love Christ and his people in the church. Blessed are you who all who love the Christ and his church. And we are the co-builder of the church with Christ being our chief architect and our foundation. So come to worship. Jesus is here in our midst. Come to worship. Come to church gathering because Jesus is present in our midst. And give your offering, and Jesus is the receiver of your offering. He's the one who counts your heart. And get involved in the ministry. Jesus is honored when you care about the ministry of the church. He's the recipient of the glory and honor from your commitment and your devotion and your honor of him. So love the church people. Jesus is the head and we are the body. Amen. Let us pray. Father, We thank you that the church is the kingdom of God that is planted on earth. Until we gather, we will be gathered to the kingdom of God in heaven, the church will be your kingdom of God, where Jesus is the Lord, the head of the church. Thank you that we are part of it. Let us not take it for granted that this is just another thing, but this is a most profound and foremost the blessings of all. Thank you that you entrusted us to be a church in this particular time, in this particular place. And receive all the honor and glory from all we do as we cherish Jesus, the risen Christ, who is at the right hand of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. And Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Worthy of every song.
Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. stand beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Our Father, we are so grateful that your Son not just a son, but the only begotten Son, the Son of the living God, is our Lord and our Savior. And Father, if there's any the circumstances that are so challenging and such that we don't know what to do with that, we cast all our fear, anxiety out of our mind and put our full trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is at the right hand of you, taking care of all the matters that we can imagine, all the affairs of the world, including our own challenges of life. We cast all our doubt and fear out of our mind and our heart and place our full trust in Jesus Christ and give Him all our allegiance. No matter what happens in this world, we are part of the kingdom citizen. We are part of God's family. And Jesus Father is our Father. Jesus God is our God. Nothing will separate us from that bond as a Church of Christ on earth. Pour out your assurance and your conviction upon all of us and cast out all our fear and doubt and anxiety out of us. And we are at the hands of good God, the only living and true God, the Creator of the whole universe and sustainer of our life and Savior. And we thank you, Father, that your Son is in our midst and your Holy Spirit empowers us and let us fill with the Holy Spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of the Father who is in heaven and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.